Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt.
Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics.
Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Everybody, this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. I am Molly.
And I'm Kim.
And you know what? Hey, it's 5 o'clock, y'all. Hopefully you guys are ready
in traffic,
to get out there
listening
and have
to
some
us.
Good times. Hopefully you got out of work early enough to miss the traffic. But if not, I'm glad you're tuning in to 1690 AM. And you should do so every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m., to hear the AmeriChicks.
We promise you will learn something. We are educating ourselves, and we're educating everybody else, too.
Hey, you know what? If we need to know it, you need to know it. So, you know, we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And there's so many issues in the news today that it's hard to keep up with everything, so we just want to make sure that we're pulling out the most important things that should matter to you and your family, and that's what we're going to go through. Now, we also want to help people keep an eye on the process. You know, once you go in and you vote for somebody and you click the button and say, great, okay, this person, I have full confidence that they have my best interest in mind and they're always going to do the right thing. That's great.
Think again.
But you might want to just keep your eyes on what's mm-hmm. going on.
That's
and
important.
And make sure that you know how to do that, when they meet, what their responsibilities are, what their roles are, what the limits on their office are, and how to speak up, really, and be persuasive. Because you know what? You're your first line of defense. Not only physically, but also mentally.
Ideologically.
There you go.
You got it, baby.
So in studio with us today, and we're going to get to this in the second segment, but we have Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas, and she's not only been the county commissioner, she's also been coroner. So we're going to kind of get into what those roles mean.
There's some jobs that I couldn't do, and coroner's one of them.
Yeah. Well, and it's good to get an understanding of what that role is, you know, what you're responsible for. So thanks for being here, Laura.
Thank you to both of you for allowing me to be in your presence.
Well, we sure appreciate it. And I know you have some good solutions that we're going to talk about. And
so we like solutions.
We'll get to that mm-hmm. soon because, it's all about solutions. And before we get to that, let's talk about national news.
You are just about ready to jump out of your skin with what's going on today, Molly.
You know what, Kimmy? You served city council. Laura, you have served as coroner and county commissioner. I have never served in an office. I was in the financial industry.
But you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express the other day.
Right. And I've read the Constitution. And I'm friends with Rob Nadelson. So now I got my eyes open. But, the more and more I dig into how policies affect my life, the more I care and the more I want to know and the more I dig in and the more sausage I am learning is being made. Oh, boy. So Comey, former FBI Director Comey, this is the big deal of the day, right? I have been watching his hearings today in front of the Senate committee, and a few things popped out at me, Kim.
Okay. What's number one, Molly?
Number one, thank goodness we finally got this out of the air and we can move along. Trump was not under investigation personally for colluding
Russian
with Russia.
Collusion. Yep.
Okay, done. Done and done. Check the box. Let's start something new in the media. Great?
Well, I hope so. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it is now on record.
Yeah, it's on record. It's been said. So let's just move along, folks. Number two, you know that Comey took notes when he was speaking with President Trump, and he...
Or so he says.
He personally leaked his own notes.
It's unbelievable.
To his friend with the purpose of him leaking them to the media.
This is the FBI director?
The former FBI director.
That doesn't seem like that's a very good thing.
I would think that even a disgruntled employee, if you're the FBI director, you care about your country so much that you know that there are certain things that you keep confidential and private. And if you've got a beef with the president, do it a different way. You don't start leaking information like a child.
Well, and to the media, and as I was driving over here, they said that the media came out with a bit of a black eye because they would report things as anonymous sources, as leaks, and they were not correct.
Yes.
So they didn't do very well either. But Molly, your point, people should be really troubled with this. Really, really troubled.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, watch where the information is coming from and what's the purpose behind it. Last but not least, of course. So, you know, we were all concerned. June 27th last year, the tarmac meeting when former President Bill Clinton, whose wife Hillary was running for president, mm-hmm. he met the attorney general on the tarmac and got in her plane for a private discussion.
And now, I think they said they talked about golf and their grandchildren.
Yeah. And how long does that take to do?
Yeah. So, but did we find out that that was not the case?
No, I'd like a copy of the black box. I'm sure mm-hmm. there's something in there I'd like to hear. But, you know, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, she was the leading top law enforcement officer, okay? Right. There's an investigation into presidential candidate Hillary Clinton at the time. Why in the world would she get involved in that mess? And then Comey said that he felt kind of funny, kind of queasy about the fact that Attorney General Lynch was coordinating messaging with the Clinton campaign and suggesting that he do the same. So he wanted to make sure that that Comey was calling this investigation a matter rather than an investigation, so it didn't seem like such a big deal.
So was there collusion on the messaging, Molly?
It appears that that is possible from Comey's testimony today.
That is troubling, too.
There should be impartiality. There should be no conflict of interest between these groups. When you get to the top of the top and you're talking about presidential candidates and the attorney general and the FBI director, and there's a candidate who was the Secretary of State who has access to so much private information of Americans. And we know right now, as we look at these attacks that are taking place all around the world, we need to keep our confidential information confidential, Kim, because one of the main roles of the government is to protect we the people from enemies foreign and domestic. And it appears to me that they all fell down on the job when you talk about Lynch, Comey, and Clinton.
And agreed. And if people are just tuning in, Molly has made three really important points. First thing is that from Comey's testifying today, he said Trump was never under investigation. Comey admitted that he leaked to a friend, to leak to the media, and that Loretta Lynch was trying to align the Clinton campaign narrative.
Yep, with their own. So there you go. That's how the sausage is being made. Stay with us, and we're going to talk about more keeping your eyes on the process.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Today, you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, this is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. And issues are right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And that's why we decide to talk about them. You know, sometimes people tell you don't talk about politics or religion at the water cooler or the dinner table.
What else do you talk about, Molly?
But hey, you know what? If every single decision a politician makes has an effect on your life, why would you stick your head in the sand and just let that happen?
Very good point.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it. All right, so how do you keep your eyes on the process? Well, you start to understand the process. So we believe that politics and government really is best close to home. We want to keep it close to home as possible so that we can be involved and educated and really get our voices heard. So we've invited Laura Thomas to come in studio with us, and she is currently the Dougco County Commissioner, but she also used to be coroner. And if you don't mind, let's go back to your coroner days, Laura, because I would love for you just kind of to explain what a coroner does, because in my mind, I think, you probably know what I think, but tell me, what does a coroner do?
The primary duty of the coroner is to determine the cause and manner of someone's death. I mean, that's it. How did this person die? And was it natural or accident or homicide or suicide? Or we don't know. That is what the coroner is supposed to do.
And how do you decide that? What kind of research is done?
Well, in my estimation, I ran for the coroner's office because I have a great background in managing public sector budgets and personnel. So I hired doctors to do the medical work in the coroner's office. I had trained investigators who went to the scene, and I oversaw the budget and the personnel and made sure we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, nothing more, nothing less.
Awesome. Okay. And can you tell us maybe just a couple of your goals as coroner and some of the things that you had done while you were in that position?
The first thing I wanted to do was make sure that we were being very respectful to families who had lost a loved one, because we were dealing with people at the worst moment of their life.
Yeah.
So first of all, I wanted to make sure that government was delivering services in a compassionate manner. The second thing I wanted to do was to be sure that we were paying what we had to pay for and nothing more, because I am very respectful of taxpayers' dollars.
So what happened with the budget then when you were coroner?
So when I became the coroner in 2011, the budget that was waiting for me was $1.3 million. By the end of the second year, I had it under $900,000. So over the 4 years I was the coroner, I saved almost $1.5 million of taxpayer dollars. We did things better. We just did things smarter, because I don't like government sticking its hand in my pocket. So I want to be very respectful of the dollars that I spend of others.
You know, Laura, that is almost unheard of. You hardly ever see government that will be cutting their budgets. Now, I've seen government when we go out and are getting private bids for different things, they will try to cut those budgets from private enterprise, which is good. I mean, certainly you want to get the best quality at the best price that you can, but I seldom have ever seen government reduce their budget. So that's kind of amazing. Do you have any other ideas? I mean, across the spectrum, how often does that happen?
You know, I don't know how often it happens, but I had great faith in Douglas County government, because we often hear if you don't spend it, you're going to lose it. But I really believed that if I spent only what I needed and next year needed more and made the case, I would be able to function with what I needed. So I really need to give great kudos to Douglas County government.
Okay, excellent. So now you've moved on. You're now a Douglas County commissioner. So what does a commissioner do?
In Douglas County, there are three county commissioners. We are elected at large. We have to live in a district. My fellow commissioners are Dave Weaver and Roger Partridge. And we have a very respectful, a really robust relationship. We don't always agree on everything, but when we're on the dais, we're very professional. Commissioners make decisions about land use. Commissioners make decisions about how money is spent, how taxpayer money is spent. We make decisions about resolutions. Commissioners are the only position in government that I'm aware of that have a legislative role, an executive role. We also have a quasi-judicial role. So when we're making land use decisions, that's quasi-judicial. So we can't talk to each other before the issue comes before us. We're very respectful of private property rights. and the rule of law.
Okay. Laura, do you think that it... I guess this is kind of a... I have an answer to this. So I guess I'm asking a question that I want to answer, but I'll let you go at it first. And do you think that it is good governance that everybody always agrees on everything? Or do you think that it's good to have robust discussions to come to decisions, and sometimes they're not unanimous?
Leading the witness.
I know, I know. Sorry about that, Molly. I knew as I was doing that. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take the bait.
Okay.
I think that robust decisions or robust discussion lead to better decisions, because I've known Dave and Roger for years, and I thought I was going to know what they're going to say, but I actually have been very shocked when we're sitting on the dais and I hear something come out of one of my fellow commissioners, because I think, wow, I did not expect that. And we have discussions that are very healthy, very robust. And sometimes I find that I need to make a different decision based on what they have expressed. So I think everybody benefits from good, healthy discussions.
I totally agree with that. Now, we're talking with Laura Thomas, and she is a Douglas County, Colorado commissioner. Now, when are the meetings? Because I think that people need to start to show up and be engaged. So when is your regular meeting?
Douglas County holds the business meetings on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 1:30 in the afternoon.
That's tough for people that work, you know it? So are they recorded? I mean, can people
they
watch them?
They are recorded.
Them? Okay.
They are recorded audio, and they are also streamed live. So you can sit at home and listen to your computer and hear what we're saying.
Okay.
Live.
Okay.
They are archived. You can go back and listen to the archives yourself by looking on our website.
And so if somebody is working, you know, and they're home, you know, they get home and they can actually see the meeting, and then they can, I am sure they can email or call with any questions about that. How would they find out about something that's going to be coming up for consideration in case they had an opinion about that, Laura Thomas?
Douglas County has a robust website that lists commissioner agendas and hearing schedule.
Okay.
So this afternoon, our phenomenal staff posted all of the packets for next Tuesday. This is June 13th I'm talking about.
Okay.
On June 13th at 1:30 in the afternoon, we're having a commissioner business meeting. At 2:30, we're having a land use meeting. And then at 5 o'clock on Tuesday evening, we are having a special business meeting.
Okay.
So all of the packets have been posted. People can go to the Douglas County website and go to commissioner agendas and meetings. Okay. And they can click on the link and download all of the documents.
And Laura, what's the difference between a business meeting and a hearing? And is there sometimes a hearing in a business meeting?
I just use the word business meetings, but business meeting and land use meetings are hearings.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So we're talking with Laura Thomas, and she is a Douglas County commissioner. You're talking about land use and how taxpayer money is spent. What kind of issues are coming up that you're going to be discussing soon that people should have on their radar?
The Douglas County Commissioners will be hosting a special business meeting on Tuesday, June 13th at 5 p.m. And I will be making a personal presentation. This is all of my work. I am making this presentation, this proposal, to the other two commissioners. And I am asking them to put this proposal on the November 17th ballot so that citizens in Douglas County can make a decision about how they want their tax dollars spent. So in particular, I'm very concerned about traffic in Douglas County, traffic congestion. It is a public safety issue. It is affecting our lifestyles. It's affecting our economic development. And so we need to figure out, especially I-25, how do we widen I-25 from Castle Rock to Monument? It's an 18-mile stretch of roads. We've lost two state troopers on it in about a year and a half. There are other citizens who have died on that road and been injured. And the federal government does not have the money to write a check to fix that road. And what has happened is communities who partner with the federal government and the state government rise to the top and get their roads fixed more quickly. I have a proposal that will reallocate a portion of the county's Justice Center sales tax, about half, to a fund that is dedicated strictly to roads and bridges. This will allow the county to have the first amount of money to, and we don't know what that amount of money is going to be. The project is estimated to be between $400 and $600 million. The county and others will partner together, I believe. This is the model that happened up north of Denver. Communities came together and put $80 million together. The feds came in, and that road north, I-25, is being worked on now.
Okay. Now, you said that this is 18 miles. It's south of Castle Rock and to Monument. So, it's six lanes or three. How many lanes is it? So, it's two right now there, but it's three lanes that are moving into two lanes. And that's why, in fact, when I was driving over this afternoon, I heard that it was jams between Castle Rock and Colorado Springs. So if we can, in essence, get that additional lane both ways, that's going to alleviate a lot of those problems.
It certainly will help.
Okay. So, and so it's a three lane, and it'll connect, then we'll be three lanes all the way then from Castle Rock to Colorado Springs when this is done.
That's our hope. There are two federal studies going on right now, and those studies will determine what the road will look like, how many lanes they will be, the configuration of the lanes, and so those plans are in process right now.
Okay.
Real quick before we get into the details of what the whole change is going to look like, Laura Thomas, you said that you are going to, on June 13th, you're going to bring this to the other commissioners and ask them to put this on the ballot. Is that all that it requires, is that the three commissioners agree and this goes on the ballot? Or does that have to then go back to your community, or do you need to go get signatures or anything else to get put on a ballot?
That's a great question, Molly. At least two of the three commissioners will need to vote to put this on the ballot so the voters can see it in November. And in Douglas County, we have about 200,000 registered voters. So we need two votes to put it on the ballot, so that 200,000 people can have their voices heard.
Okay.
That is a great question. It's astounding to me. County commissioners have a lot of power.
We do.
It's kind of amazing. Are you surprised once you got into the job of just the breadth and scope of it?
I really was, and I've been involved in government for many years, and I've known many commissioners and watched them. But once I was sitting in the seat, and I really realized the power and the authority in that seat, it was breathtaking.
You know, that happened to me as well when I was on city council. The first time a businessman came before us, and we had the power, if you will, to approve or deny their business going forward, I almost got sick to my stomach initially. But then I realized that we've got the playbook with the Declaration and the Constitution to go back to and be, you know, looking to that for how we're going to make our votes.
And of course, That's why you want to make sure that the people that you elect to put into these offices, even at the local level, understand the Constitution and understand their role and the limits on their role so that they're not trying to do something funny.
Quite well taken.
So stick with us. This is the Emeritix Molly and Kim on KDMT. We have Laura Thomas in studio, and we are talking about keeping eyes on the process and how.
It's the last weekend to see Pirates of the Caribbean and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 together at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, June 9th through the 15th, it's a triple feature, including Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment under the stars. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. I am Kim Munson.
And I'm Molly Bird.
And we have Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas in studio with us. We're talking about challenges and solutions. Molly, there are solutions out there, and people want to know what they are.
Well, yeah, and you know what? People are looking for somebody with a brain to come up with something nice. And, you know, we were talking last segment about having robust discussions, and I really think robust discussions really just means brainstorming, because together, you know, we can cure anything if we come together with different ideas, because they all fit together for the good.
But you have to be open to that. You can't just put your line in the sand and say, I've got my stuff and I want to keep it the way it is.
Right. Well, you have to be open to hearing it, but you also have to be responsible enough to go dig for the truth. truth and do some research on your own and try to come up with an idea. Rather just poo-pooing somebody else's idea, come up with your own.
Great plan. Now, I have to tell you, Laura Thomas is in studio with us. She is a Douglas County Commissioner. Laura Thomas, there's two words that I don't like in the same sentence, and that is taxes and perpetuity. What do you think about that, Molly?
I think that sounds like a good opening.
Now, I like rights. I like individual rights that go into perpetuity, but I don't like taxes that go into perpetuity. And what's amazing to me, Laura Thomas, is that voters will go out and they will approve things into perpetuity. And I think that there should always kind of be a reset. Now, granted, if you're trying to get something done, you probably need to have the taxes being collected long enough to make sure that you can get the projects done that you're trying to get done. But to your point about reducing the budget of the coroner's office, you felt that if you did a good job and that you needed something, you could go out and make the case to the taxpayer, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so Laura Thomas, Douglas County Commissioner, you are coming up with, we have a challenge, and that is roads and bridges and different infrastructure things, stormwater in Douglas County. Not stormwater? No, I was thinking that was part of it.
It was originally, but this proposal now is strictly about roads and bridges.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Okay.
Roads and bridges.
So roads and bridges in Douglas County. The county is growing. It's a wonderful place to live. I live in Douglas County. And so you're trying to figure out a way to improve upon our roads and bridges. And one of the big projects, and one that everybody knows, is I-25 between Castle Rock and Monument. And, you know, you never know if you're going down to a meeting in Colorado Springs, if you will get there in 50 minutes or in 2 hours. And you have to allow for the 2 hours just in case. And so this could start to alleviate that problem. And then another thing that you had mentioned is our economy. You know, the trucks that move our goods and services across America, if the more efficiently they can do that, the less fuel they use and the less things and pollutants that are put into the air. And so it would be in our best interest to make sure that they can move these goods and services in a quick manner. It makes things cheaper for us and it also makes it more efficient for them. So those are a couple of things that I think are really important regarding this proposal. So let's move to the proposal.
So first of all, I also want to add everything you excellently stated is this is a public safety issue. And that is one of the top reasons that I'm focusing on this and why I think it's appropriate to move Justice Center sales tax funds to this public safety need. The Douglas?
Well, just a question. If you take money from this Justice Center sales tax, I mean, I want to make sure that we're safe with all the craziness that's going on out there in the world. Is this going to affect the safety of our residents in Douglas County?
This proposal will not affect the safety of our citizens in Douglas County at all. Now, it's being spun that way.
Oh.
But right. Let me explain that the deputies that patrol our county are paid for out of a mill levy on your property tax. 4.5 mills, which raised last year $15 million. So the deputies on the street that help us are funded out of property tax.
Okay.
I'm talking about reallocating a portion of the Justice Center sales tax. Now, this tax went into effect in 1995. It's been in place for 22 years. It has raised $360 million so far.
How much did the Justice Center cost? Do you know?
It started off, I believe, at $41 million, and then an addition was added to it. This money has paid for 10 buildings.
It
and
what buildings are those?
It has paid for the Justice Center. There was a substation built up in Lone Tree. Then the Highlands Ranch substation was built. There is a driving track that was built for the officers. There's a crime lab. There's an evidence warehouse that has been built. There's a tactical training center that's been built. Some of the jail was built. A hospital for the inmates at the jail was built. And a parking garage for employees has been built. So all of these structures have been built. And the money that the sheriff's office will keep from this sales tax is going to support those structures, the HVAC systems. You know, all of us, if you own a building, you know you have to have upkeep on it.
Right.
So that's the perpetuity piece, to maintain the upkeep on these buildings. There are some employees in the jail and in the courthouse that are funded out of these dollars. And no one's going to lose their job. Everyone will remain whole.
Okay.
That sounds great. So then it sounds like there's some extra, maybe perhaps there's something additional we could do with the rest of the money there if they don't need to build anything new.
And that's where I'm going with this. This capital construction fund will have $18 million in it in December of 2017. The sheriff's office will keep that money. The next 3 years, this tax should raise about $8 million a year. I would like to move this, reallocate the tax from the Justice Center sales tax to roads and bridges effective January 1st of 2018. So bringing in $8 million a year would be $24 million that we could use for roads and bridges. I've already told you that my actions speak how I feel, and I reduce the budget in the coroner's office because I value people's tax dollars. But I believe this issue is so important that I am willing to give the voters the opportunity to ask them, are you willing to extend the sunset on a 0.13 portion of the tax until 2035, which will bring in revenue so we can get the projects that the County Public Works Department has listed that need work.
Mm-hmm. So Laura Thomas is Dougco County Commissioner, and I'm glad to hear you say that you are purposefully taking this to a vote to the people because you realize that extending a sunset is increasing taxes, because this money would, if we did nothing, then the sunset would pass and people would no longer be paying these taxes. But you understand that, and that's why you're going to a vote to the people to say we want to extend. It's exactly what you had before. We're not asking for more money. It's exactly the same, but it's going to allow us to reallocate some of those funds towards roads and bridges, which everybody has said they want help with. And unfortunately, at the state level, we haven't been getting a lot of help with that. And it sounds like, you know, with the RTD and the Dr. Cog debacle earlier this year, they were talking about raising taxes and only guaranteeing about 30% of that money would go to roads and bridges. So, Laura, it seems like you're lining out a plan here to allocate some money that's already been paid that will actually go to roads and bridges. Is that right?
That's correct. And this proposal specifically says only roads and bridges. There are no other buildings, no other structures, roads and bridges. And there might be something we need to do to get a road built. We might need to buy extra land to get the road built. So this proposal will allow this. And again, this proposal that I'm making next Tuesday is to ask my fellow commissioners if they would like to put this on the ballot in November so the citizens can vote.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I love the fact that this is not a tax increase. Now, Molly and I had a long conversation regarding whether or not, if you don't let a tax sunset, is that in fact a tax increase? And when you really peel that away, yeah, it is. It is. But it's important to be transparent about this so that people understand it. And to ask them, so to explain it well and tell them where the money's going to go. And I think that it looks like a pretty interesting solution myself. What do you think, Molly?
I think so, too. And again, just reiterated what you said and what I said. If you're telling somebody that we are voting to continue past the sunset, then you are letting people know that this is continuing a tax, but we're not doing it without a vote of the people and without you understanding what it's for. And we're not just putting it into a slush fund. Laura Thomas, you're talking about, you're telling them exactly where it's going. It's going exactly to roads and bridges, and reallocating a certain amount of money that the Justice Center no longer needs, because they've met all their needs. They've built their buildings. They have the maintenance funds that they need to continue for years to come. So this extra money could be used for roads and bridges. And I like the fact that you're directing it where we need it.
You know, and Molly, that raises a question. Laura, you went through the list of, I think, 10 different buildings that have been built with this Justice Center money. Now, initially, the money was just supposed to be for the Justice Center. But do you foresee that there's any need for additional buildings? Or, you know, hold that thought. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'd like you to answer that question. And then I got one other one for you as well. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, KDMT 1690. We'll be right back.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's Free Freedom Kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your Free Freedom Kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
I'm Molly.
And we're talking with Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas about a new idea about fixing roads and bridges and expanding I-25 between Castle Rock and Monument.
And if you're sitting in traffic right now because it's between 5 to 6 p.m. in Colorado, you think this is important. We do, too.
Yes, we definitely do. So what's your, just very quickly, I know it's difficult, but again, as people are starting to listen, what is it you're going to do exactly? Or what is, you're not going to do this. You're going to vote next Tuesday with your other two county commissioners. You need two votes to be able to put this question in front of the Douglas County voters in November. So what is it exactly, Laura?
The Justice Center sales tax is 0.43. My proposal is to leave 0.2 with the Sheriff's Department to support the buildings that have been built with this fund, and then to move 0.23 to roads and bridges. That 0.23 is from two pieces. One is a 0.1 that is supposed to be in perpetuity. This proposal will sunset that piece in 2035. The other 0.13 is supposed to sunset in 2020. It will move the money 3 years early to roads and bridges and then extend it to 2035 if the voters approve this. So we will have about $365 million that we can use to improve the infrastructure in Douglas County.
Okay, now this Justice Center money, when it was approved by the voters, was for the Justice Center. You said there's been 10 buildings that have been built. You know, I'm thinking, well, what if Douglas County needs more buildings for the Justice Center? I mean, I guess all we could do is at that time we could bring something in front of the voters and ask them, right?
That's right. And there's plenty of capacity. The jail will hold about 450 inmates, and right now there's 234. The coroner's facility, I can tell you, well, you can do four autopsies at a time there. We only do 135 a year. There are two courtrooms in that building that still are not occupied. So we have lots of opportunity for capacity going forward.
Well, Laura, I am very concerned about taxes. And what happens is everybody comes in, like there was this big, Molly, you remember that House bill? Now I can't remember the number of it. But you,
for what?
For transportation.
1242.
Yeah, 1242. And those that wanted to pass it said it's only like 0.001 cent, you know, on a certain purchase. But you start to add all of those up across the spectrum. And when a young person goes in to buy something, or, you know, our seniors going to buy something, and you slap on that sales tax, it could be anywhere from 7 to 8 to 10% more. That is a lot.
It sure is. And nickel and diming in tax increases doesn't hurt the most wealthy. It hurts the most vulnerable. And that's who we care about, is the middle and the lower income group. That's who we need to be thinking about.
Okay, well, good point, Molly. Laura Thomas, thank you for being with us today. Now, you would like some people to show up, right?
That's correct. My website is douglasroads.com. All the information is on that website, and show up on Tuesday, June 13th at 5 o'clock, 103rd Street in Castle Rock.
Now, people can just attend, or if they have an opinion, you welcome opinions on both sides of the spectrum. They can certainly testify, yes?
Absolutely. There'll be sign-in sheets. We'll call you up. There'll be no limits. You can talk. And we want to hear what the public has to say.
Well, thank you for coming up with a potential solution that to ask the voters on that.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're trying to keep our eyes on the process. And in order to do that, the AmeriChicks are bringing you folks that have served in office in various ways so that you kind of understand what the different roles are of a county commissioner, of a city council, of the RTD board, of a legislator. And we want to make sure that you're aware of what they do and how you can be involved so that you have a voice for yourself.
Yes, very good. So, Laura Thomas, thank you so much for being in studio with us. This is really interesting, and you'll have to let us know what happens with this as well. So,
I will. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And Molly, Nosh Tarashan just kind of snuck in here. He's a good friend of ours, and he is the founder of the National Indian Asian Republican Association. Right? Did I say that right?
National Asian Indian Republican.
Oh, whoops.
That's okay. It's a mouthful.
Okay. Well, I got it. I was close. Yeah. I was close on that. Nosh, thank you for being in studio with us. You are doing something pretty amazing. You are bringing in Nigel Farage. And he was kind of the guy for 25 years. He's worked on getting Great Britain out of the EU. Now, I'm trying to figure out what happened on this vote. I have see all kinds of headlines. So I'm not quite sure what happened on the vote over there with Theresa May and the challenger. But regardless of that, Nigel Farage is coming to the metro area, going to be in Lone Tree on June 17th. So tell us a little bit about that.
Nigel Farage is probably the most radical speaker you can come across right now. He has transformed democracy as we know it. It has been business as usual for the last 45, 50 years as we know it. And here comes a British guy who says, "I'm resigning from being an officer of the law, or as a minister." And I said, "I'm going to take on this whole thing called Brexit." And boy, did he take it on! Well, that has led to a domino effect all over the world, and people don't get to hear about this. And he's going to come here and tell us about it, what the domino effect is. I think that transformed into the effect of the elections the way they went in the United States for us.
Right. And Nigel Farage, we actually did an interview with him, and that aired last week sometime. And he is a very robust speaker, as you would say. So now this event is going to be June 17th at the Denver Marriott South in Lone Tree. Individual tickets are $125. And I know that seems a little spendy, but you know what? You hardly ever get to see a guy like this. It will be worth every penny.
It totally will. And if you go back and listen to the interview that we did with him last week on our SoundCloud, check it out at AmeriChicks.com or at SoundCloud. Just look up AmeriChicks. You know, the interesting thing talking with Nigel is he talks so much about the real reason for sovereignty. Why is it so important that we protect our borders? Why is it so important that we make sure everybody who lives in our country actually agrees with and believes in our law? It's very important that we have this in common. And that's exactly the same as America. Is, you know, we want everybody that wants to come here for a better life, absolutely. But we want to make sure that they really do want to come here for a better life. They understand and respect our laws, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to protect all of our people. And Nigel has been talking about this for 25 years. He has really been out in front of this forever. Kind of seems like in America, you know, we just got got squishy on our own law, and it just snuck up on us. But he's been fighting it for 25 years. So if you want to see what, you know, what's so powerful about sovereignty and why it really matters to protect that, you're going to want to come here, Nigel. And again, he's going to be here June 17th at the Denver Marriott South in Lone Tree. And Naira is putting this on. Check it out at www.naira.org to buy a ticket.
Great. Thanks, Molly. I love those details on that. Now, Nosh, this is a big get. How on earth were you able to get Nigel Farage?
Must be my accent.
Or I was going to say your good looks.
He hasn't met me yet. However, if I may interject one little thing for our listeners. I didn't want to forget our veterans who have made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Our seniors who are on fixed income, and they might find this pricey. Or even our students. So I'm going to give you folks, and it's on my website, a new phone number for them to call. We have certain reduced rates for them
good.
On their needs. And they have to be, you know, It's going to be an honor system, and they got to provide some ID or something. But that number will be 720-236-5345. Again, I repeat, that's 720-236-5345. And there will be a live person to answer that phone, or go back to the website, naira.org, and you will find the phone number sitting over there. I think we need to welcome those people. I would like to invite the entire state of Colorado if you could accommodate them, because as I have always said, this guy is not only a robust speaker, but in my opinion, he's one of the most voracious speakers I've heard in my life. And this guy is going to come here, entertain us, and it may be the only time Colorado will see this man here, because of his rising fame all over the world between a movie, a book signing, yada, yada, yada. He's going to be a multimillionaire. He may not have the time to step back into Colorado. So let's take the best chance we have with this opportunity.
Well, you know, as you arranged the interview that Molly and I did with Nigel, it was that morning that it came out that he was being investigated for Russian collusion or something with the FBI. And so that was really great timing on that we got that almost first.
Isn't it funny that everybody who's for liberty and freedom and property rights and speaking out against big government and for bigger individual seems to be somehow accused of collaborating with Russia?
Molly, I think I see an envelope here. It says Molly Vote. And on the never mind.
Hopefully it doesn't have white powder sticking out the side of it.
Oh, well, you know, Nosh, thank you so much for being in studio with us. And again, to get tickets, go to naira.org. That stands for National Asian Indian Republican Association. Any last thoughts, Nosh?
See you all there. It's going to be a great event. I promise you that.
It is going to be a great event. And then tomorrow is our World War II Project Day, Molly. And Levi Martinez, who was at the campaign on New Guinea, will be with us. He was in the South Pacific, obviously. And his brother, Joe Martinez, actually died, I think, at the age of 22, and received the Medal of Honor. And so Levi also wants to talk about his cousin Joe. So Levi's going to be in studio. I know it's going to be another wonderful interview. So be sure to tune in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. As this is D-Day week, 73 years ago today, you know, hundreds of thousands of Americans stormed the beaches in Europe. But you know, there are a lot of people that did a lot of sacrifice over in the Pacific Theater as well. And we're making sure to bring you that one. So you're going to get a good one tomorrow. So tune in at 5 p.m.
Right. And this is D-Day week. As you said, the actual D-Day was June 6th. But what we've learned is people talk about D-Day 1, D-Day 2. So some guys were there first day. And then there's other guys that came in after because the losses were so significant. But I'm going to do we always do a quote, and I'm going to do George Patton. This is one of your favorites.
Okay, we'll say the whole thing.
Well, most of it. He said, this speech was delivered to the Patton's troops on June 5th, 1944, the day before. General Patton said, there is one great thing that you men will be able to say after this war is over and you're home once again. You may be thankful that 20 years from now, when you're sitting by the fireplace with your grandson on your knee, and he asks what you did in the Great World War II, you won't have to cough. You can shift him to the other knee and say, well, your granddaddy shoveled
stuff in Louisiana. Woohoo! That's George Patton.
Yeah, and one other quote. Colonel Francis Dawson said, Rangers, lead the way.
Hoo-ah, it's the Americhex. See y'all tomorrow.
High school can be so rough, can be so rough.